Aloha, party people. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 67.
This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crested mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com.
On this episode, we make a visit to the Reef to speak with Brandon Glass and Rory Snyder. Rory is the proprietor-owner of the Reef, as well as the mastermind behind Tiki Caliente, and Brandon is his star bartender there. And if you're a Star Wars fan, this episode is for you. Brandon is a huge Star Wars nerd, so we get into a lot of slightly inebriated Star Wars talk, as you soon will notice. As always, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you enjoy this episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and it will make it easier for you to enjoy future episodes as they are delivered to you automatically. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to support the show, please stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, let's get this party started. Coming to you live from the Reef, here's Brandon and Rory.
I won't mind your buzzing. You don't mind my spray painted floor.
Did you spray paint that yourself?
Yeah, there's parts that are breaking off, so we spray painted.
Why did you spray paint that?
Because it's chipping off, and I'm not going to redo the floor.
I mean, like, I would think that a roller would be easier.
A what?
A roller?
No,
the roller. See the little shinier spots?
Okay.
If I did a whole roller, that'd be really obvious.
Oh, you're talking about spot spray.
Yeah.
Okay. Spot spray.
Plus, Rory's lazy, and just spray painting one spot is just so much easier. Yes. Oh, my God.
Plus, the fumes with alcohol go good.
Do you ever see that commercial where they made a raft out of a screen door?
Yeah.
That and then they rolled that shit on there, or whatever it was, rubber, whatever. Who was that?
I don't know, but he says something like, not Yippee-ki-yay or something, some stupid thing. Yeehaw! When he starts writing
it. It's not one of the regular guys. It wasn't Billy Mays.
No. The one guy died.
Right, Billy Mays died.
Yeah. Billy Mays died.
From a concussion.
Slap Chop was on crack. He got arrested for being on crack or something.
Well, it was crack, and then he hired women, that too.
Yeah, dude, that's what you do when you do crack. Hopefully you have enough money to hire women, though.
Yeah.
It's one or another, most cases, mostly at night.
Well, if you're spending money on crack, you probably don't have any money left for the women.
No, I'm poor as shit.
Or you buy the crack and you get the women because of the crack.
There you go. Well, hey, everybody.
Wait, are we, this is it? Okay, good, yeah, perfect.
No, that's on, recording.
So for
our listeners out there, let's tell them where we are. We're at the Reef.
Mm-hmm. At the historic Caliente Tropics.
The historic Caliente Tropics. And I'm sitting here with the brains and the talent of the establishment.
Thank you.
Mr. Rory Snyder.
No.
And Mr. Brandon Glass.
Yeah.
And if you've been to the Reef, you've probably had something from either one of these guys. I'm guessing more Brandon than Rory, because he's home by bedtime, right?
Well, if it's a face. BD, then it's Rory. it's a trade, it's me.
I only deal with the state and government agencies for Brandon, and then he deals with the customers.
All right.
And the liability from me, jeez, man. setting everything on fire.
Yes. Right, right. So, for the people that don't know who Brandon is, everybody knows who Rory is. Mm-hmm. If you've been coming here for, I don't know, how many years now? We're coming up on Tiki Caliente 10.
Yep.
Ooh. So 10 years.
X decade.
So if you haven't been out here in 10 years, you need to get out here because you're missing a lot. And so everybody knows who Rory is. So Rory's been on the show before. Rory's, you know, he's this loud, boisterous.
Superstar.
Let's get to know Brandon. Brandon.
What's going on?
How's it going?
Good.
So we met here. Mm-hmm. We met here when the Reef first opened.
Yep. Yep. Was it during Tiki Caliente? It was, right?
It was right before.
Right before? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
It was a couple weeks. Couple
they all
weeks
blend
right
together.
Before. Yeah, I know.
All the
I
days.
Know. Yeah. That's understandable, obviously. This whole Tiki thing, is this new to you? Is this the first time?
Totally new. Yeah, actually, Rory was looking for a superstar for, you know, the Reef, just to run things. And, yeah, he reached out and found me. I was completely new to Tiki, but I've been bartending for a long time, about 13 years. So okay. I was excited just to take on a new challenge, just something I had no idea about. Plus, I mean, I've always thought, you know, Tiki was cool. In the back of my mind, it was always mysterious. You know, there was just this mystique behind it. So it was exciting. You know, it was definitely fun and new. And as a bartender, it would be nice to have Tiki knowledge under my belt for the drinks. It's just another tool for the toolbox.
Right, right. Because people were going to ask you, hey, do you know anything about the history of this drink? Where was this invented? Or was this a Don drink? Or was this a Trader Vic drink? Or what? You know, you need to know kind of the basics, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of just comes from saturation, you know, like, you know, right. Rory constantly telling me about different things and just, you know, studying on my own, just going through books and reading and just even mostly guests, too. I mean, word of mouth is great, which is gives it again, like, Tiki has such a mystique to it. You know, everything travels through word of mouth and people are excited. And
you're still probably learning a lot of the history about not just where we are here.
Yeah.
Right. As a Ken Kimes motel. And also the history of some of the stuff that you're mixing and then how that interrelates with other things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the Tiki people, man, they're going to keep you on your toes about knowing that stuff.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, they are a knowledgeable bunch, and that's kind of what makes it fun is the history behind it. You know, I mean, even Tiki itself is rather new. I mean, you know, it's less than 100 years old. I mean, not going back to Tiki the gods, but I mean, Tiki as a culture is relatively new. So it's good. And I think it's actually very important to have people like myself, the new blood, you know, coming in and adding our own spin and keeping everything fresh. Otherwise, you know, it's just going to die if it's not always new and exciting. I mean, of course, honor the history, always honor the history, but build upon it and, you know, try something new. The other day we had the you know, the Cult of the Eye in here. And I was looking into, like, when did fezes become a part of Tiki? You know, like, because you associate fezes with Tiki quite a bit, you know, and when did that come into play? And that was just something that, again, it was just a really fun aspect, you know. Yeah. The pith helmet, you know, Rory's trademark, like that. When did that come into Tiki, you know? It's just all things associated with
2008.
He remembers.
I did it. It was all me.
It was me.
Yeah.
But, he can give you an exact date and time.
Well, I think that's what keeps these events and these bars going and growing is it's like karate. You can't learn it all in 2 days. So it is always good to have mixologists who are new to the scene because they're not going to know what somebody took 5 to 10 years to learn or 15 years. But the excitement sometimes, enthusiasm surpasses the crusty, dilapidated people who don't think of change, who just are on one road where it's nice to have somebody kick it in the butt.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of, I'm sure, salty, jaded people on the scene that are just, you know, it's just standard every day.
Adrian.
So. Salty. I'm going to put you on my margarita, baby.
Before you came here, where were you working? Was it also here in the desert?
Here in the desert, yeah. I was over at Babe's Barbecue and Brew House. Still there. I'm there actually the sales representative for the brewery aspect of the restaurant.
Okay.
So, yeah, fun. I mean, like that was
That's completely different.
Completely different.
I mean, they were going from like a brew house to a tiki bar.
Yeah, and it was literally like overnight just jumping in, and it's exciting. It's challenging.
What was that learning curve like?
It was steep. It was very steep. And
I mean, did it feel like your first days as a bartender? But did a lot of it a lot of it cross over and you were able to...
It definitely crossed over, yeah. I mean, because if you understand cocktail making, then you know that, you know, you need a base spirit, you need a base flavor. The thing that threw me off with tiki is actually tiki is all about layering.
Right
before I came here, I was talking to another bartender and we were kind of in the school of simpler drinks, you know, like going back to the three ingredient cocktail. And I was really big on that, you know, so there's nothing to hide behind. And then I come into tiki and it's not that you're hiding. It's just that, again, it's layering, you know, it's this tiramisu of goodness, you know, everything is there.
Tiramisu of goodness. Wow.
Rory taught you that.
I'm going to walk away after that one.
That come from?
I don't know if that was like legit or some serious BS, but that was good.
Oh, that was
Are we putting that on a shirt?
BS.
Yeah, might as well.
Sell it, definitely.
That's sellable.
Try our tiramisu, too. It's excellent.
He just earned his keep with that cocktail concept.
Oh, is there a cocktail? Yeah. A tiramisu cocktail? Is
we might
really?
Have to come up with one.
Yeah.
So you're actually talking about the tiramisu. You're not talking about...
No, not the drink. But I mean, again, that's all, like Rory says, it's BS.
I don't even know that tiramisu's on the menu. Are you fucking around?
No,
we have it. Juan does everything, man. Juan's a superstar.
I didn't know that.
I got Juan and Juan back there. Juan,
two for the price
I'm
of Juan.
I've been told
that he's Juan in a million.
Oh,
man.
Because he's number one.
I love these puns, man. Yeah. I'm going to walk away on that one.
You know Juan's heard all of those, right?
Oh, dude, all the time. From me, dude. Constantly. Yeah, constantly reminding him that. Well, it's such a fun place. You know, that's another thing about tiki is how fun it is. You know, there's no pretentiousness. You know, even the elitists in the tiki community are happy to...
I'm raising my hand for everybody that can't hear me doing that.
But no, it's exciting that happened.
How's that cocktail, by the way?
Oh my God, this cocktail is excellent.
What's the name of this cocktail?
Rose?
The Smoking Rose.
Smoking Rose.
Smoking Rose. Okay. So that came about because mezcal is something that intrigued me because I don't know much about it.
It's like the hip new spirit.
Is it?
I think so. Like in the past maybe 2 years?
Kind of come around, yeah. I was just playing with that and seeing what I could do and just taking other ideas from other cocktails, you know.
So that leads me into my next question. What is your process for creating cocktails? Do you normally start with a flavor that you're going after? I know that sometimes people will create a drink based around a name.
Yeah.
They'll want a name.
And, you know, see, that's fun. I've done that.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, an event or something, and then they got to come up with, okay, what would this taste like?
And that's definitely the wrong way of going about things. I mean, I'm guilty of that, too. I was talking to Rory last night. You know, I wanted to make a cocktail, the Cool Change.
Calls me late at night? Yeah, everyone does.
Everyone, literally.
They always talk to me.
Brandon, let me
mostly
put you on.
At night.
I remember going to Java Lanes. Is it Java Lanes or Kona Lanes? The one that's in Long Beach.
Kona
Lanes. And Java Bowl, is that the one that was in Huntington Beach? So, okay, whatever
Java,
it is.
Good time.
Whatever it is. So the one that was in Long Beach, just before they closed, they had a bartender in there that was... He wasn't a craft cocktail kind of bartender.
Mm.
So he was just making that, like... Kind of like tipsy bartender kind of drinks.
Sprite and Curacao and everything.
Lots of candy and all that in it. And he had drinks that he was very proud of. One of them was called a Bomb Pop. And he layered it.
Right? Okay, yeah.
The red, white, and blue. And it tasted exactly like a Bomb Pop.
Really?
So I guess the point that I'm getting at is that sometimes people do create a drink based on the name.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But how was that Bomb Pop, honestly?
It tasted like a Bomb Pop. Tasted like candy.
Yeah. It was a bomb.
But I mean, is that
it was,
I mean,
the bomb.
That's always good. But I mean, can you order like two or three of those? You know, that's the thing. Not knocking
no,
him.
You know
but
what?
I mean, that's the kind of thing that is important as a bartender is definitely to...
that's an interesting question.
Base your spirit.
Can I order two or three of those based on the spirit, you're saying?
Well,
or based on the taste?
Taste. Like, is it sugary? I mean, like, did you need a shot of insulin afterwards?
I get you. Well, no. It tasted exactly like a Bomb Pop.
Mm.
I couldn't taste any of the booze in it. And I saw him make it. But, I wasn't really even paying. It was almost 20 years ago. It was maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And
that's good, but obviously memorable. And that's actually very important in a cocktail, too. I mean, that 10 years, 15 years later, you can reminisce and remember fondly that drink. Like that.
It's his Palm Springs Punch.
Hey.
Created in 2008.
Amazing. 2008 was a good year. It was a very good year.
For a lot of people.
It's a good vintage, right?
Yeah, but no, making cocktails is always fun, and it's always a long process. I mean, it's just ideas you have in the back of your heads as you're doing something else. You know, you're kind of constructing it, and then trial and error. So much trial and error.
So it costs the bar owner a lot of money and wasted alcohol at first.
But it's an investment.
Exactly.
It is.
It's an investment. You're investing on future sales.
I'm investing in Brandon Glass.
Right. Stocks are rising.
Yeah, right. His stock is doing well.
It's not the only thing rising.
He's like the Enron of the tiki bar.
Enron of tiki.
Yes, yes.
Plus, we have a new bartender, Nikolai. Nikolai, we got from Dish. He goes by the nickname. He's the Bulgarian Bullet. That's his nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. I like people coming on with their own nicknames.
I love that name.
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
He did.
Really? Who came up with that?
It's really, really good. Yeah. I asked him where that name came from. He said, it's, you know, I was like, because you're fast making drinks? He's like, no, it's because of me with women. I'm like, I'm not touching that one. It's because you're fast for the women, right?
I thought it was ironic.
Don't you think?
So, okay, let's go along that line. Nicknames. Did you ever have a nickname?
No, never had a nickname.
Never?
No, I mean...
Pyro, what's your thing called?
Pyro? No. I mean, Glass-tastic. I mean, that's my Instagram
Glass-tastic.
Handle.
Glass-tastic.
Follow me on Instagram. Glass-tastic.
The glass, work. Grass, or ass?
Yeah, no one drinks for free.
No. I've thought about it. I mean, like, I love puns, dude. I'm a dad, so I'm a sucker for bad puns. Not good puns, but bad puns, always. So I actually thought about making, you know, another... No, wait, I probably shouldn't give away my idea. No to these right. listeners here. But no, playing off of glass, definitely. You know,
okay, so
it's such a great thing.
You talk about that you're a dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and as a Star Wars guy, you've probably seen Star Wars Dad.
Yes.
Oh, no,
yes.
Bat Dad.
Bat Dad is right? great.
Because if you're into like that, you know, characters and all that kind of stuff. So... I think he's awesome.
No, he
Every
is
time I
phenomenal.
See something like that, I think, God, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. It's right? so simple, you know, like literally it's this $5, you know, Walmart Batman mask that looks
right?
terrible. But that's the appeal is that it's so hilarious. You know, this tiny little mask.
Right.
And
so
he just he owns it.
He owns it. So, I you know, as a dad and as a Star Wars fan, maybe you could be like Chewie Dad.
Chewie Dad? I like that. I mean, like, I know that
you could do the selfie video and all you do is that snarl. Yeah, that one.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
And then every video is just Chewie Dad just talking to his kids that
they
way.
They have the Chewie mask, remember? You know, that one woman, she was famous for about, you know, 15 minutes. She got her 15 minutes of fame from the Chewie mask.
And oh, yeah.
She was
yeah,
just
because,
cracking up in there.
Because
it,
she
it
thought it was
video.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was a fun
yeah.
video.
She was
definitely.
The best
yeah.
video of 2016. She was just ranked.
Was it really?
Head, yeah.
Was it really?
Yep.
Dude,
wow.
You are just a plethora of... You know, dates. Like, how do you
true.
Remember these dates? This is very true.
I like to know things.
So, should we even get into this? Should we start talking Star Wars with Brandon?
Oh, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Pandora's
that's
Box.
That's his specialty.
Here. Oh, my God. Pandora's Box.
That's why I'm asking.
It's his specialty. Oh, like, mine is slaying the Siths.
Oh,
it's
no,
my
no,
specialty.
No. See, okay, so Star Wars, I mean, several Star Wars tattoos. I mean, all about it throughout my entire life. Actually, the... amazing moment was taking my 3-year-old and having her sit on my lap and watching, you know, The Last Jedi the whole time. I mean, when those horns blare at the beginning,
right.
you know, the bah, 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 like I
hey spoiler oh, alert, dude.
Okay, whoa,
spoiler
whoa, 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 sorry, no,
slow
definitely
down.
No spoilers.
Slow your roll.
Yeah,
so,
it was. Well,
when was the hook? How old were you?
Me?
Is this something you picked up as a child or more as an adult?
I honestly can't even recall because it was just, I was saturated in it. I come from a large family. Not,
high school?
Not,
was it
No. Like from birth. Like
oh, okay,
literally,
okay.
like I yeah, cannot remember
so that's,
a time
that's
without
what I was,
it.
That's what I was.
Like, yeah, my parents told me they took me to see Return of the Jedi when I was one in 83. Like yeah. I was in the theater watching it. Actually, my dad is a huge Star Trek fan and he
oh,
was excited
really?
Because, yeah, he said my mom
oh,
was.
Oh, dude, that's. Got to be so he was excited.
He was
so it's
no,
not like watching the USC UCLA game.
No, there's no rivalry, you know, we're just
sure
into our own
that?
Things. Positive, well, although,
well, your family,
my
your
family,
family
no,
there's
like,
no rivalry
yeah.
in your family.
No, I mean, it's just my dad, like, literally, like, huge family. All of my cousins were just all about Star Wars, and you know, I inherited all of their action figures, and they were always coming over to watch the movies just you know, over and over and over again. So, yeah,
by the way, this drink is.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I guess
I guess that's it.
That's
it. That guy, my resolution just got shot.
Him and his father fight about Star Wars and Star Trek. It's a big slap fest.
Grip pump.
Oh no! But he was excited because I guess when he saw Wrath of Khan and my mom was pregnant with me and I was going eight, you know, in the belly, and I was like,
"You
no.
were." How old were you when you were really conscious? Well, how old are you now?
Conscious.
If you don't mind me asking.
No, 35.
35.
82.
So you're 14 years younger than me. So just to put the... Yeah, 82.
82, Asia, heat of the moment.
So I guess my question is...
Pretty good, huh? And now you find yourself in 82.
Oh, man.
The time when it was conscious for you now that Star Wars was your thing... How old were you then? Maybe like three or four when you started.
Definitely. I mean, like it was everywhere. You know, I was running around playing with, fake Tauntauns and, you know.
So the question, I guess it would kind of still relate because if you were born in 82, the first one was 77, right? So,
yeah, 77. Hey, very good.
So,
good year.
Okay.
So, almost as good as 2008.
Almost. Nothing beats 2008.
You're welcome, people. You're welcome.
Turned me off.
So many asides, man. Yeah.
So, the thing that was weird for me was that when I was a kid, I always knew that Star Wars was supposed to be 9 episodes. Well, okay, you're raising your eyebrows about that.
Yeah, no.
Well, I always knew this when I was a kid. It was a rumor that went around.
Yeah.
And then after the episodes 4, 5, and 6, it was like almost 20 years before we saw another movie, right? So... Obviously, I started thinking, oh, maybe that was just something that kids say, right? But I guess that's true.
I guess Lucas had always seen it as a 9-part, story that was focused around supposedly the Skywalkers. You know, that was his whole idea. You know, you've got the, 1, 2, and 3, the last ones that
came
out.
That's how it includes Leia and Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All those guys. Yeah. Anakin. It was all about the Skywalker family, which, the prequels, some people can take them or leave them. Those are the ones that came out in 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about those.
Yeah, those, I do like them. I can still appreciate them. They're very funny. It's a gold mine of just, jokes and memes and...
Darth Maul. Darth Maul was awesome.
I know that you're a pretty deep Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
So
both of us
and
are.
I know
Rory,
that Rory, I didn't know that.
Oh, huge. Actually, okay, I presented him with the idea of doing a May the 4th event here at the Reef last year.
Yeah.
And he was like, he wanted to do it just because he was excited to celebrate.
How come you guys
celebrate.
Didn't do anything on December the 6th?
Is it
December?
No, wrong date. It's May the 5th. It's
Revenge of the 5th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Revenge of the 5th.
Fifth.
So that's how,
Sith.
That's how it is. Sith. Exactly. Yeah. You're getting it, see? We're going to make a Star
Wars
fan.
Not in December.
No, not December.
It's May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th.
And May the 6th. Was it?
May the 5th. Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th. Yes.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo.
It's a 2-day event next year.
No, May the 4th. It's a play on May the 4th be with you. So May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
And then you can extend it to Revenge of the 5th.
How little of a Star Wars fan. Now, here's the thing. I appreciate the movies. I think they're very
great.
Well written.
Yeah.
But one day it dawned on me, it's just a movie about politics. It's just politics in another world.
Yeah, and that's...
That's all. I mean, that's it. I find it ironic that it's entertaining to us, but probably because it's another world.
See, I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
See, somebody like me being from Chicago.
I love this story.
So you don't think Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie?
Oh, I do.
I'm just kidding.
So when I look at
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and Gremlins is too. Okay,
When I look at Star Wars, when I was a kid, being born and raised in Chicago, I wasn't a big fan of living in Chicago. It wasn't where I was meant to be. So I always saw Luke looking at a bigger life and doing something, getting out of his farmer town, cultivating water and stuff, and actually there's that scene when he's standing in front of the two sons.
It's like listening to a song. Everyone gets a different meaning from the story.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
okay.
I
get that.
The reason why
I think is about politics is this, the alliance this and the rebellion that, and... we did this, and we're going to bomb your planet, and blah 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 blah. That's not like
who are the bad guys?
We're going to bomb your country and da da da.
A little bit. I mean, the bigger picture in all of those is.
Am I offending you by saying that?
No, actually, okay. I actually love the whole politics of it. I mean, actually, when you go back in like the prequels, which people take or leave, when you break down how you know, Chancellor Palpatine come to be the Emperor.
He's
Unlimited power.
Unlimited power!
I mean, he comes into power. He is appointed the Emperor by the Senate. You know, like, they appoint him. They do this.
You know what? I'm sorry. I hope I don't offend you by saying that. I don't understand the story that intricately.
Well, okay, see, but I mean, like,
I just know that, I just know that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
See?
Spoiler, dude. Spoiler. Come on.
Sorry about that. If I ruined that for everybody.
I can tell you, no, the appeal in Star Wars is it's basically the same story that everybody loves. It's the one hero, a million different faces. This is about a boy being thrust into a powerful role and saving the princess.
There's a formula to that.
Yes.
And Disney uses it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a Davy and Goliath situation where the Davy has to fight a Goliath against all odds.
Yes, all odds, yeah.
But in the end, he's always victorious.
Yeah, always overcomes. Right. Well, I mean, but...
Well, that's usually what's happening here.
Of course. But, I mean, then there's also cliffhangers. You have the heroes, you know, their backs are up against the wall. I mean, Empire Strikes Back, it ends on such a somber note. You know, you've got Han Solo, who's encased in carbonite.
Is that your favorite one? Like, is that typically the best one?
The best one, yeah. It's very well done. You know, it's dark, it's different, and that's also why I like the most recent one. Actually, the most recent one kind of messed me up, but it's... It's dark and it's different.
Oh, really?
It really messed me up for days.
Miserable for two shifts.
Yeah, just because what it was it's just anticipating.
Whoa, dude, spoiler alert.
Yeah, no spoilers. This will be spoiler free, I promise. No, don't tune out, okay?
Although if you're a Star Wars fan, you should have already seen it.
Exactly,
by now.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm sure the base will be quite operational. I assure you.
How's that go again?
It's
He does this perfectly.
Yeah.
Because we do these all day work.
I'm afraid. I'm not a Star Wars.
Quite operational.
I'm not as big of a Star Wars fan, but I could totally go down a rabbit hole right now too.
Yeah,
you know, with like memes that I've seen and the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, Wookiee Life Day, baby,
and all that kind of stuff. I never even saw it
when they kill a stormtrooper.
It's so bad.
Can you find it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they used to have it on YouTube. And I bet you they still do. If you look it up, there's an episode they had it where somebody had it with all the commercials still in it, and it's amazing to see it because every commercial was about buying the Union label, and you could tell how long the U.S. has been destroying unions. So when you see that, it's not a propaganda thing. It's just the commercials are in it from the late 70s.
Wow.
You realize back then they were fighting to keep American jobs because everyone's turning outsourced.
So I was born in 68, so I grew up in the 70s. I was a little kid in the 70s. I always say that I really grew up in the 80s because by 1980 I was 12 years old. So I experienced junior high school, and college from 80 to 89. So I have a real affinity for the 80s.
You know, 80s were great.
Yeah. So, but anyway, going back to, you know... I grew up in the 70s. Yeah.
Good point, though, Adrian. I like where you're going.
This is a great year. 70s were great.
I go off on tangents, and then I forget what my fucking original thought
was. We're all about Huffy bikes and, you know, Star Wars and Stretch Armstrong.
I grew up in the 70s, and because of that, I have nostalgia for Yacht Rock.
There you go. It's you.
Oh,
smooth.
Man.
See?
Everybody...
What a segue.
Yeah. Oh, no. Perfect.
You know, I do enjoy Yacht Rock because it reminds me of my youth. It reminds me of when I first learned to skateboard and when I first learned...
Your youth was smooth.
Right. But I remember what I was going to say. I'll get back to it. But... the Yacht Rock, it just reminds me of, like, you know, those times when I can remember as far back in my farthest memory.
Yeah.
Right? So it's nostalgic for me. It reminds me of cruising in the car with my parents when they were taking us places.
Yeah. It's good music. It's in some ways by the tiki community hated. There's a line drawn there, and I respect it. It's not tiki.
No. Sure. Okay.
But I mean,
good.
I'm glad
that
you feel said good.
That. I'll be the first to admit it's not tiki.
You heard it here first, folks.
I will admit garage rock's not tiki.
Right.
I will admit most of the music you hear at tiki events are not tiki.
Not tiki. Man, no.
All right.
Okay. Surf.
No. But I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to Star Wars.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. So
there's
right
a bunch
now.
Of stuff that I want to say. So of course I had all the toys.
Oh.
And I don't know what. One day they just all disappeared. You know, when I was younger, and I probably didn't care for them anymore. My mom probably cleaned out a closet and just threw them away, which is a bummer. But
happens
I
a lot,
remember
which is why
having
they're so valuable now because everybody's mom threw them away.
Right.
And if you want to go back down that path, then you can
yeah,
go ahead
you can
and
go
find
and
them.
Have them again. Yep. Yeah, and I had a friend that brought some into the Tiki team once, and we played with them at Corn. Yeah, took pictures of drinks and all that. I'll have to see if I can dig up the pictures, and I will send them to you.
Did you have the bull ride over them?
Oh, we didn't. Oh, we should have put the bull on the back.
That would have been brilliant.
Awesome.
Yeah. Have him hold the lightsaber up.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. So, in the 70s, from what I understand, ILM was created because of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
That,
well, because technology wasn't there at the time to do films like this.
And so, I remember as a kid, George Lucas would say that he started on episodes 4, 5, and 6 because the technology that to tell stories 1, 2, and 3 didn't exist yet.
No. And it's because, I mean, 4, 5, and 6 took place, you know, with the Rebellion being this, you know, ragtag group of, you know, freedom fighters
bandits.
That are just bandits. Yeah, seriously. They're taking whatever they can, just, you know, scrapping hunks of metal together to try to make some way of fighting against this, you know, huge oppressive force.
Almost an empire, if you will.
Almost. An empire, yeah. Good choice of words there. That's great.
Until they struck back.
Until, yes. But that's, yeah, it was good, you know. He was wise in doing it that way.
Here's what I was thinking, and I guess you proved me wrong. Because, you know, I don't know if I read it or heard it from somebody that, well, he had stated that the technology wasn't there to record episodes 1, 2, and 3, and episode 4 is supposed to start as a rebuilding episode, right? Like they're rebuilding from...
From nothing, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Right. And so because they're rebuilding, the technology has all been erased, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
So then he didn't need to show that technological prowess, all that CGI and stuff... And episodes 4, 5, and 6, because the technology is not there?
I mean...
As the storyline?
Yeah, I mean, I think
wow,
he
I
also,
didn't know I was a Star Wars
yeah,
geek,
no,
man.
No,
dude, you know this stuff better than
yeah,
most.
Great, yeah. No, it's definitely true. And also, I think that 4, 5, and 6 was a simpler story, you know, just focusing on...
It was
easier to tell, you know?
Easier to start, yeah, I guess as a starting
and
point.
And also, 4 was supposed to be, you know, New Hope was... I mean, they weren't even sure if they're going to do any more. Like, actually, everybody working on the film were
right.
just like,
they
oh, this is garbage.
They thought they were filming a turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw that in a documentary somewhere.
Yeah, everybody, like...
And I can see how they would think that.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, if you look at the behind-the-scenes footage, it does kind of look like, what the hell are we filming?
Yeah, everybody. And, like, what they're speaking, like, that's... I mean, now it works so well. I mean, like, they're just speaking all this technological garbage, you know, talking about, you know, hyperspace and all this stuff, and, like...
Well, you know, what's funny is that there... A couple of those things have become implanted in our daily culture, or the way that we view science, for example... Or in other movies, when they hit light speed, the stars pause at first,
and then
they stretch, right? So I think I've seen that in other films.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it was groundbreaking.
So it's kind of created
time.
A standard.
Yeah.
I see it sometimes when I'm drinking, and I kind of go to bed, and I rub my eyes real hard. I'm like, ah.
Because, you know, the other thing about Star Wars, right, is that... When you had all these different creatures, and again, as a child, you know, it's like, oh, wow, this is a weird world. But then I figured it out, right? It's like Alien Nation, right? So here we have different ethnicities, but if we're going across galaxies, we're going to have different
You might different be the first creatures. Person that related Star Wars to Alien Nation.
I'm trying to figure out
I hope
what
it's as
it
good as Alien Nation.
Oh, right. You could do it.
Yeah.
Let's do a 6 degrees thing. Who's on Alien Nation?
Who was an alienation?
Ooh, that
nobody.
No,
yeah.
Nobody, yeah. So there it is right there.
Not true. Not true. The one main bad guy was in Ocean's 11. He is one
as
of the
good
main
guy or a bad guy?
As one of the guys from Ocean. One of Danny Ocean's guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bald?
No, beautiful hair.
Oh, beautiful. A good, a bad guy that was...
He was the guy who broke the cylinder hair? And drank all the whatever that drug was they were making. He was in Ocean's 11. He was
wait,
in a lot
wait,
of TV
what
shows.
What are we talking about right now?
Isn't that Aliens? Alienation?
Oh, Alien Nation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Bald guys. Yeah.
See, dude,
well,
so
he was
bald,
not in the real life.
Here's
bald.
The thing. I've been eating clean for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you look and good,
and now
Adrian.
And I've got like a drink. I actually have lost about 7 pounds since I started, which is about 30 days ago. But I know a lot of that's water weight. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, so this is my first cocktail since, I don't know.
30 days?
Maybe a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's feeling pretty good.
Good.
You're looking
good.
You got
a nice little buzz. You're looking great.
May we all be doing this 30 years from now.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Round Zero for tropical drinks.
So we were talking about Star Wars. I also had the collector's cards that they had yellow, red, blue, green. I think yellow was the one that was the most common, or red, or both of them were equally. I had shoe boxes full of that.
Yeah.
And I remember the blue ones being more rare, and I had silver ones.
Yeah.
I had all the colors.
Silver, I don't remember.
I don't.
But it's quite possible. Yeah, if you go on eBay, there's actually still...
Maybe I'm wrong about silver.
It's surprising if you go on eBay, there's still full boxes of those you can find.
Unopened. With the gum intact.
Yeah, somebody thought that far ahead to not open the box.
Did we already have a collector's culture by that time? Because in the 80s, I got really heavily into collecting comic books. And by that time, they were like baseball cards. Everybody was collecting them.
Right? So, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi are a lot less collectible and valuable than Star Wars.
Yeah.
No one knew to collect Star Wars except a handful of people.
Right.
So those ones are very hard to find.
Well, they didn't have
to get to
product.
This, I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but you know, like the when I was collecting comics, I was bagging and boxing them.
Yeah.
And then when I go on eBay today to see if I have anything worth money,
Everybody's
got them.
Yeah.
And this was in the 80s. This was over 30 years ago. So people, now that they know how to collect, they just don't remove anything from their, you know, wherever they are, they just take it with them. And I still have all my old comics because, like I said, I wanted to see if I can get some money from on eBay.
Yeah, in the future. But, I mean, everybody, I mean, that was kind of the thing. Once people realized, everybody was doing it. And it's hard to have collectibles these days. Nothing produced is hardly collectible because it's oversaturated. They're making so much stuff for the market.
Unless it's not oversaturated. That's the trick. The trick actually is, because, I mean, I collect art, tiki art. I collect some mugs, and I collect guitars, and it is the only ones, sadly enough, that are collectible. If it's a very limited run to like 200 mugs, or you might be able to get face value.
Even that
for
could
it
be subjective.
Well, that could be subjective. But you're also like guitars. Sometimes the only things that are collectible are because only a handful of people could afford them.
Right.
Then they become collectible. But these days, with comic books, Star Wars, if the common consumer could buy them, they're not collectible.
No.
With mugs, when they're $65 each or more, not everyone can afford that. And sadly enough, that's why they become collectible, because you eliminated part of the market, because you limited the numbers and you put it at a price range that everyone can't afford at that period of time. At some point in their life, they might want to go back and get those mugs because they couldn't afford them at that point.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my cannabis cookie is kicking in right now.
Nice.
Right now.
Why didn't you share?
Oh, I didn't bring the rest of it. So
you finished it.
Shout out to Jono. Jono, who bought me a cannabis cookie on the way home from Vegas. So he bought it in Vegas. And
Jono's a good man.
But it's legal, so he's not taking illicit drugs?
No.
Over state line?
No.
It's legal.
And he's retired, so he should be taking it for his glaucoma.
See, we need to have a... We need to do a cocktail with some there. Call it the Reefer Madness.
This cookie was fucking good. It was a mint chocolate chip cookie. So it was a chocolate chip cookie with the mint goo on the outside, the candy covered shell,
stoners,
and it was—I don't remember how many servings it was, so I cut it into four because I've been in,
I've been in over my head before.
Oh,
with
yeah.
edibles.
Yeah, so easy
ate,
to do.
So we ate
yeah.
three.
Yeah.
No. So yeah.
Well, the problem is you
so
get the munchies
I
and
left
then you finish
three
it.
And I ate one. And you know, like driving out here, I was thinking, "When's this fucking cookie gonna kick in?" And
it did.
Just yeah. did while Rory was talking.
Yeah.
That's usually how it happens. Yeah. The euphoria kicks in as soon as I start talking to people.
I had a friend that was talking to me about doing mushrooms.
Oh, it's
and mushrooms yeah. are I guess are they hallucinogenic?
They can be depending on
because they were to him because he told me that he did mushrooms and he was sitting at his kitchen table and there was a pencil on his kitchen table and he said the pencil popped up, popped out arms and legs and ran off the table. Now I don't care for the any kind of high on the
mm-hmm,
mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
but I sure want to fucking see a pencil see grow arms yeah. and legs and run off the table.
I've never had that kind of hallucination. I mean, I've done mushrooms
oh,
a
so
handful
you've done
of times.
Mushrooms,
oh yeah, a handful of times. It's really therapeutic. I mean, actually, psychologists have been saying that drug is one way of actually creating new neural pathways and probably one of the better
oh,
cures
really?
For depression. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
oh,
most
you just
drugs.
Created a neural pathway. You know,
exactly.
every time you learn something new, you get
a new
wrinkle, right?
I got so many wrinkles. My brain is
a
Shar
Pei. Brain wrinkles.
No, it's a Shar Pei up there, dude. Trust me.
So yeah, you just wrinkled my brain, dude.
Ooh,
is that good?
Should I leave the money on the table?
I didn't even get dinner first.
Mostly at night.
Mostly. So no, that's good. Yeah, really really interesting. But it's fun that we're doing, we've legalized it in California, finally.
We've legalized it in California, and I learned this from another podcast. I learned this from the Joe Rogan podcast, actually, that, and I'm going to get called out on this because it's probably bullshit. So that's my disclaimer.
Okay.
But this is what I heard. This is not what I'm making up. This is not my theory. This is what I heard in another podcast. So he stated in an episode that marijuana was actually made illegal because tobacco was invested in by it was either Hearst or Rockefeller or one of the big money people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they saw cannabis as a competitive threat.
Yeah.
And so they used their power to get doctors to say, you know, all of the negative things about this quote-unquote drug.
There was that. I've also heard that textiles, paper, hemp is actually a wonderful fiber. I mean, instead of, you know, mowing down the rainforest to get your paper and different materials, you can grow hemp, which is relatively easy to maintain, very quick, very, very quick turnaround. I mean, it grows like a weed. Ah, pun intended. But very strong. Yeah, actually, I've seen footage, I guess, Henry Ford made a car out of hemp fiber. And you can see him just beating the crap out of it. Yeah, you can see him just smacking it with a baseball bat and just no dents. I mean, it's incredibly
strong. And then when it crashed and caught fire, the town was never the same. That town became Hersheyville.
Rory's our Paul Lynn.
Yeah,
all you have to do is wiggle your head.
I love having him around.
So, I love Paul Lynn.
So the thing is that I have a grower and... You know, like I use it to relax, right? I don't smoke it all the time. But every once in a while, like Stephanie actually uses it for her anxiety. And it helps her out a lot, right? It really, it like settles her down and all that kind of stuff. Not like she's out of control or anything, but... now it's kind of weird now. Because it's like, I can actually have like a bag of it in my cup holder.
Yeah. No, and it's great. I mean, I worked for 2 years in a dispensary. This was about 4 years ago. I needed a break from bartending, and bud tending was, along the same lines.
Check it out.
So, yeah. Right? Just behind a counter.
For our listeners, Rory's got this smiling disgust face, and he's shaking his head.
Idiot.
Just moron.
That's where he got his mixing skills from. Try some of this Asian long hair with the potato love.
Did you have a recipe? Did you have, like, special blends that you would make when you were working there?
No. I mean, I just... I got
Is
into
there
it
such a thing?
More,
or am I...
I mean, you can... I mean, I guess you could theoretically blend just to get two different
I'll tell
effects
you,
out of
so
it.
So my grower always gives me different strains, and I can't tell the difference without any of them.
Really? Well, I mean, see, that was just working in there. I had to tell the difference just because I was helping clients, and
I'm just saying that it's like medical. It's like if you don't have a palate for
that,
craft cocktails, and
then
right. So it's kind of like, that's what I mean.
By yeah. That. No, and you need a better bud tender. You need to talk to a guy like me who is knowledgeable on these things. But I love helping people. That was one thing I loved about getting into that was actually there was a young lady that came in one day because this was when it was strictly medical. And I mean, she was just, you know, skin and bones, literally. Yeah. I guess she was going through chemo and just couldn't keep anything down. And so she came in and she was trying to find some kind of, you know, help, some kind of relief and an appetite stimulant. So I offered her a new product we had, which was a coconut oil that was infused with cannabis that you can cook with or use it as a topical, whatever. And so she tried it. And, you know, she, nothing, and she left. She was very distraught. I felt defeated. I mean, I felt terrible. And then 2 hours later, she came back, and she was like, I just went to In-N-Out. We had an In-N-Out down the street.
Oh,
it was perfect.
Awesome.
And she was like, I finally ate. So she was happy. She bought more of the oil. I saw her 2 months down the road, and she had gained a ton of weight and very happy. So in that regard, it is a great medicine. It's not for everybody, but, I mean, there are certain, you know, things that it will help to alleviate. So, it's great.
I'm being told that edibles are completely different from smoking it.
Different effects, definitely. It'll affect people in different ways. You know, when you heat, the THC is the chemical that creates the psychoactive properties, and CBD is the other chemical that actually helps to... It doesn't stop pain, but actually helps with pain management. It helps your body process pain better.
I don't listen to Adrian's show to become educated.
We're boring. Yeah, I'm being so boring.
No, I like it.
But no, when you eat it, the THC.
This is the craft cannabis portion of the show.
We're talking Star Wars, pot.
We are.
And well, about the breakdown.
Why you shouldn't buy tiki mugs.
No, let's talk about why you should buy tiki mugs. Rory, do you have any tiki mugs in the works right now?
Just to let you guys know.
So, here's the thing. So, I came prepared to spend money tonight.
Oh.
We like your kind here at the Reef, mm-hmm. Palm Springs. So, at this store called Antitropics.
Bring your money.
So, I'm ready. Well, here's the thing. I want the mugs, but I have to be strategic about
mugs?
when I buy them.
You said plural mugs. I'm liking
mugs,
this.
Yeah. So, let's tell our listeners what you guys have.
Ooh. Today, we are releasing our August Holland...
The companion. The
companion, because we did one already, which is awesome. That was out of stock for quite a while. But we are going to the Pearls of Wisdom, probably his most historic or recognized piece in the tiki community that's hanging on the bar here at the Reef. But John Mulder from Ikumbukum has recreated into mug form, which looks glorious. It'll be a production piece for us for 2018. Today's the release. We only have 30 of them today. But
this is an open-ended mug. People can come back.
For the year, correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Okay, and then so what else do we have here? I know that we have the other August Holland piece.
In a new glaze, actually. A brand new glaze that actually it fits the piece better. Closely resembles the original painting because the original glaze we had was a little too orange, right?
A little too orange and a little too glossy.
Yeah.
And
a little more matte.
A little more matte and a little more...
add it to the list.
Underlit.
Add it to the pile.
Then we got the Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl.
Oh, man.
Long Pig.
The Long Pig. Okay.
The foot.
The Long Pig mug is... I'm calling that the Vajankle mug.
The Vajankle is good. You did tell me this one. Yeah. I like it.
After you go home today, listen to the episode of Frogtown Brewery.
Okay.
It's one of the more recent ones.
Yeah.
And we talk about Vajankles.
I know this is a thing because my wife would she would send me these photos on Wish because I didn't know that on Wish, you know, those like dollar, literally everything online. They have a serious amount of sex toys on there, and the Vajankle was something that she sent to me, and I'm like, really?
Oh, I didn't know
thing?
That. So it's what's funny is Frogtown Brewery is in the old Vajankle factory.
No.
So they told stories to me about their clogs all having to be rerouted because they're all full of, like, you know, the silicone stuff that it was made with.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say something else.
And then they were getting, and then they were getting the old mail and all that kind of stuff, right?
Wow.
So what's funny is they said, we didn't know what a Vajankle was until we Googled that shit.
Yeah.
And then, so I had to Google it, right? I did an episode with them.
Give it a Google.
So I had to Google it.
Google that. Google Blue Waffle.
And so I Googled it, and the pictures that popped up, I thought, oh shit, they got a mug of that at the Reef.
It's a good mug.
Really? Yeah.
Dude, all you got to do is you got to get that mug and put the innards of a fleshlight in there. And,
right there.
And you've got a vajangle.
Good to go, man.
I didn't put that much thought into it, but I guess, you know.
Tiki vajangle. Somebody did.
As long as I can market it and make it collectible.
Does,
it brings a second,
does
second
John have
a
like a
pig.
Foot fetish or long pig?
Long pig. John had that one in production. I mean, we opened up on the fly. We didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And when we did find out it was going to open, we had
right.
30
so
days.
You're looking for a mug for your opening.
So John was already sitting on a mug
John
he was working
had
on,
that one. Yeah.
And he did the stamp for us and did a beautiful job. It's actually our top seller. It killed, mm-hmm. and then the Black Pearl came, and it was the new wave,
right.
Where the Black Pearl became all the rage. And then we ran out of the long pig for a while, and then you know every box of long pigs we get, one of them has the painted toenails. That's the trick here, and we don't know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we got those back. Those run out. So we've been lucky enough to kind of be flipping back and forth. And right now we have everything in stock, which is a rarity. So somehow we're carrying on.
Yeah, we're very, very lucky to have that. And we also have a new glaze on the Tiki Caliente mug, right? The flow lights.
Oh, that's the...
The flow lights, yeah.
The flow lights, yeah.
We finally... It finally looks closer to what we imagined versus when we first released it. What's going on, Adrian? What's with that red light? What's with that red light, Adrian?
With this red light, that means we're recording.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay, good. I'm just being educated. So I've learned about pot today.
We've learned about pot.
Star Wars is about
Star
politics.
Wars.
Brandon Glass, who is young versus the most of us in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how I view you guys?
How?
With your eyes.
Well, I'm going to start with Rory. So when Rory first came out here from Chicago...
Yeah.
You know, like he started learning about the tiki thing, and it was like a new thing for him. And then he worked his way into where he is today, and now I see Obi-Wan Kenobi and young Anakin.
I'm not ready to take the lightsaber for him yet, though.
No,
you know what that means? He needs a little more training.
One day, Brandon's gonna kill you.
Actually,
oh,
no.
Spoiler.
Well,
wait a second.
Spoiler alert. But not without Rory first severing all of my limbs and leaving me in a
dream
of lava. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. That's okay.
With one swipe.
You have the high ground.
I've got the high ground.
Oh, that's funny.
You underestimate my power. Wonderful.
Okay, so I don't know if we actually talked about this before, Rory, the last time you were on the show. I guess I'm curious about, you know, like the Reef has been this bar that... It's come and gone. You know, it's sometimes it's here, sometimes it's not.
It's gone.
It's remodeled, sometimes it isn't. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that it's nice that it's open again. It's open by the right person.
Thank
you. But I don't think people know the whole story about how that all happened.
You know, long story short, I mean, I'm the luckiest man in the world.
True.
Being from Chicago, I used to go to the Halakiki, and I did have some tiki background. I didn't know of the events and stuff. I collected the art, so I knew the artists, Shag and Derek Yaniger and Doug Horn. But when we started doing the event here 10 years ago, because M Modern Art Gallery, which is now the Shag store, was having their five-year anniversary, and the owner of the gallery, Jay, and I were friends because I bought art there. And he asked if I would do some kind of event to help him celebrate the five-year anniversary, which was a tiki show. So that's how the event came to be. Left, we went next door, but new owners took over this hotel about 2 years ago, heard of the event, wanted to bring it back, or we lined it back up here, and he had somebody else lined up for the spot, and it wasn't going too well, and he offered it to me, and I didn't want to take it at that point because I had some, my dog was getting older and ill, and I turned it down, and then he offered it to me again after she passed, and talking to my girlfriend, Kari, we had the conversation, and we both realized if I didn't take it, I would regret it because whoever took it and failed would have killed me.
I agree
with
that.
And if they would have succeeded, it probably would have bothered me to some degree. So we took it.
Right?
It was a no lose. I would always regret it. So I'm glad that we did it. It's been wonderful. My hair's growing back.
Yay.
You're losing your hair?
Part of the reason I got the Yacht Rock going on from the dog passing and opening the bar from stress, I got alopecia. And I
thought you were going to say so that you could wear the hat.
Yeah, so there you go. I did it for the hat. But there you go. So if you have alopecia, other people get it too. Don't be alone. Be with me.
Alopecia. Oh,
call Rory. But, let's give his number.
But ultimately, it's been awesome because I kind of got to bring Tiki Caliente around year-round.
Right. And for somebody who was a bartender for so long and ran bars, it's nice to know almost a year later I have all my original staff in place, yeah. So they might not think I'm a total asshole, and I think the product's gotten better.
Well, that's not what they tell you.
Yeah, probably not. Something's going right. Something.
He's enduring.
So, you know, what is the drink that you'll add on fire here, Brandon? Is there more than one?
Right now, I mean, not, we don't have a... I had the a drink I was working on. It was a calling it now the Pele's Kiss, just because I wanted to play with fire. But right now, I mean, try to do a painkiller, and because you dust it with cinnamon and nutmeg, I throw it on
because
it's just exciting. And then right now, what you have, the smoking rose, we flame the rosemary, and we capture all that smoke in the glass, and we shake
smoking
it with the smoke
rose.
In there.
Yes. That's my grandmother's rose. Name, by the way.
Smoking rose? Is that what the boys call
really?
It?
Rose. Yeah.
I just grossed myself.
Why are you calling my Why are you calling my grandma Smoking Rose? There's something wrong with that.
She's 97.
There you go. She's still smoking?
Wow.
You mean smoking physically or smoking?
You know what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes.
It's a big one.
Yeah, she's got the same distributor for her. For her glaucoma.
It's legal. It's okay.
Yeah, she's the last one. After that, see, my dad's already passed, and my mom's still alive. And then after my mom, who's in her mid-70s.
Oh, well, yeah. So it's time for you to carry on. You got kids, right?
I have kids. I have a son that's in college now. He just turned 18 a couple months ago.
Wow.
He can do the Rubik's Cube with his eyes closed.
He can't
really?
Do the
Rubik's really
no.
can.
He can't do it with his eyes closed.
Oh, I thought he did it with his eyes closed that one time.
His eyes closed.
Okay.
No, but he likes to be timed. I think his record is 22 seconds.
Yeah. Wow.
He's amazing.
From one of my shuffles, but thank you for that, Rory. But yeah, so I have a son at UCLA, and I have a daughter that is a sophomore in high school.
God, how is that when they're that old? I mean, because mine are 3 and 9 months right now. So.
Well, you know... It changes. So I'm trying to come to the fact that in 2 years, if my daughter leaves for college, then I'm an empty nester. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I'm kind of used to it already just because, like, you know, my kids are from my first marriage and I got divorced in 2005. So since then, I get them every other day and I get them every other weekend. Mm. And so I'm used to not having them around. But because they're not around, I miss them a lot.
You know?
And I really look forward to when they're going to be at the house. So yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, you know, like enjoy your kids at that age, man. That's when they're fun.
Yeah, no, like I said, she's a blast. I mean, took her to see Star Wars. She was all about it, like was mentioning it. Just the other night, we fought for an hour with lightsabers. My 3-year-old
really?
Daughter, I mean, like, and she was like, no, Dad, I want to fight with lightsabers. I'm like, honey, I need a break. Come on, Dad. It's like the Obi-Wan and Darth Vader fight, you know, years later on the Death Star. Just now, slow and just...
Do you let her win?
Yeah.
Or do you demolish her?
No, I demolish her. No. No, but she's great. You know, kids, you know, they have amazing imaginations. And so, you know, she's like, Dad, who are you? You know, I'm Darth Vader. Who are you? I'm Rey. You're like, all right, let's go. And she's like, R2-D2 is trying to distract you. And just, you know, she's going off on these tangents. And it's amazing seeing their imagination. And I think that's why Star Wars... prevailed over the years was because of opening up the imaginations. It's this sandbox of a world, and kids are there to play with it. That's why the new ones right now are important to kind of hand over the mantle to my kids to get her excited.
What about, let's talk about the different theories that I've heard. So theory number one, Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord.
I love that theory. I absolutely love that. I thought it was ridiculous at first, and then I actually watched that, you know, whatever, hour, 2 hour long video, and they make some great points. Some really great points. Yeah, Rory is just that look of disgust.
I had to bring it up. Now, I'm not a Star Wars geek, but it's, I think, a common piece of Star Wars knowledge.
Yeah,
right?
It's a great theory. I mean, utterly ridiculous at the end of the day, but it's very fun, and it's great. That's why Star Wars is out there, so the fans can just, you know, rant online and have fun with it, you know, and just
all
take
right,
the ball.
So let's
run.
Rant about this one, theory number two. And I got this from Reddit.
Okay, good. Good place.
So, that the Force is fundamentally flawed. That it pulls you, it's very influential to you, right? And it will pull you into its direction no matter which way you decide, good or bad. Light or dark, right?
I would agree with that.
And the Force will be just as strong in whatever side you just, you know, you choose to be on.
But what
they say is that what makes it fundamentally flawed is it is just open to any kind of whatever suggestion you give it.
I think that's actually great, and that's one thing that the new one did very well. It was talk about the balance and how, you know, darkness rises and light to meet it, and there must
spoiler alert.
No, but they really pushed, because, you know, when they did the prequels, they did the whole, you know, midichlorian count, and they kind of, instead of having the Force be this mystical, it's so stupid, but I mean, it's this mystical energy that nobody understands, you know, it's just, it's everything, it's this energy, it's mystical.
Well, have you heard anything like, no, this is stupid, this is only coming from me, by the way.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, would you liken it to, like, it's not like karma.
No,
it's
not like
karma. Luck.
No, no.
Luck?
It's
luck is supposed to be the intersection of preparation and opportunity. So,
exactly. Yeah. Right? So no. The Force is mystical. It's something you can't, you know, it binds us.
I would say the will is the equivalent of, like, some people are optimistic, some people are pessimistic. Hmm. It almost like political, where some people have a frame of mind. I think, like, prayers and good thoughts, you see if everyone's thinking positive thoughts, if you believe in it or not. You kind of feel better with the day-in-day operation of life. When everyone's kind of negative, you do feel a little darker and feels like there's a weight around.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately with the Force is, if you're kind of a negative guy or a negative girl and you have that ability to understand your surroundings, that negativity just grows because that's what's there. And if you're more of an optimistic person who's trying to help people and you kind of control those things, I just think it just embellishes that ability even more.
So this is very much like, have you seen the documentary called The Secret?
Yeah, I agree.
It's about law of attraction.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I've talked about this before, there are two types of karma. There's a westernized view of karma and an easternized view of karma. And the western view of karma is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. What goes around comes around, he's going to get his, that kind of stuff. But an easternized view of karma is that you are what you believe you are. If you're a positive person, you're going to have a positive day. If you're going to be negative and you choose to be negative, all you're going to point out are all the bad things that's happening, like you stub your toe or you run out of gas or whatever. But you're going to ignore the positive stuff because you're not on the positive plane. But, and conversely, right? Maybe you got a flat tire, but you see the positive that you didn't get hit by a car getting off the freeway.
That's very important. Yeah,
I believe that 100%.
Exactly. So that's what The Secret basically states, is that, you know, you live the life that you frame in your mind, right?
Yeah, I totally believe it. I've seen that, and I read the book years ago, and I think it's 100% true. There's stuff I've visualized in my life, and I've now achieved. I think there's a fine line. I think it's a combination.
Would you say that kind of describes a Force?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Rory, but...
No, definitely. Big part of it is that. And
is it one of these things that it's hard for a non-Star Wars person to understand?
No, I mean, it's very simple. I mean, I think it's the simpler the concept behind the Force, the better. I mean, once you...
Here's what I'm going with right here, okay? Because we all have been watching this movie for years and years.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe. When you talk about The Secret, it's actually a good segue. I'd say The Secret, and it's having forethought on a subject. So a lot of ways when you see a Jedi and they fight with a Sith, they've already sat there and thought about the moves before it took place. So it seems instinctual, but it's not. Haven't you ever had a conversation with your kid, but you thought the whole conversation through before you had it?
Stand-up comics do this.
Yep. Yeah,
they bait an audience member into their joke.
Yeah,
by asking certain questions,
and they thought of what they're going to say.
Yeah, they already know, like, whichever answer he says, they've got a comeback for it.
And it seems like they're quick witted, and they're not.
Right, exactly,
they thought it out over and over again before they got there. So they seem like they're just instinctual when they weren't. They planned it. So I do believe in that. I do believe a lot of times when you see somebody who seems like life is going their way, it's because they willed it to some degree and they put the steps in place.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're focusing on the positivity of what's happening in their life versus the negativity of what's happening in their life.
We're getting all religious.
The Force explained.
Yes, no, we got it. We're done, guys. Wrap it up.
We're done.
Send it home. So, we don't need another one.
I'm going to order some food right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you going to order?
Well,
that Loco Moco?
That Loco Moco looks so good before we started.
It's good stuff.
And I've had it before. It's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, we got some Tiki Peeps here.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk to.
We're going to be opening soon for the mug release.
Yes.
Holland. So are you going to be actually doing a third, the last one in that series?
That's a great question. Because the third, here's the question, because somebody asked me that too. I reached out to the August Holland family a couple of years ago for these. The third one, which is the hardest print to find,
right?
And the most,
but you can find an image online. I probably
it
don't
is,
have one.
But it's the ugliest tiki. I don't think it stands alone. I think these two last mugs stand alone. They're great looking mugs. They're great looking tikis, and they're iconic. The third one's not as iconic, and the third one doesn't stand alone. I think it's kind of ugly.
So the answer is a no.
At this point, it's an absolute no. We've got four other concepts we're working on between Caliente, the Caliente Tropics, and the Reef that I would like to get underway well before even putting that. Even one of the ideas that came up by somebody's suggestion that's based off one of the other mugs we did that would make more sense. So that's well back burner. I have no interest in doing it at this point.
All right. Cool. Well, the mugs here are pretty damn awesome.
John Mulder.
You
can book them.
But you art directed them, right? You chose what some of these... I mean, like you said, oh, we're going to do this August Holland mug.
I did, except for... I'll give
I know my, that you didn't choose the foot because...
I didn't choose the foot, and the Black Pearl was 100% John Mulder's idea.
Oh, I thought that that came from you.
100%. I would never... You know, honestly, when you look at the Black Pearl, I wouldn't ask somebody to spend that kind of diamond detail on that mug. It doesn't seem like a cost-effective mug to do, except for an event, because the amount of pieces it takes, the amount of glazing it takes, and production time.
Right.
It's not a simple mug, so I give him a lot of credit that he really wanted to do that in larger scale.
And even like the August Holland mugs, I mean, those are based on a painting, which you can only see the front of. Like, he had to go and imagine the back. And the detailing on the backs are great. You know, he did an awesome job.
I didn't even thought of that.
And then next month, we released the Caliente Tropics mug, which is based on one of the tikis on grounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For Modernism Weekend, which will be our next piece.
I thought it was going to be the Pelican and on the Christopher Cross.
You know what?
Album.
Ooh.
It's not a Pelican.
What?
A flamingo.
It's a flamingo.
Flamingo.
Oh, wow.
You ruined it for everybody.
I was thinking of the Rusty Pelican.
I know you were. But yeah, Buzzy brought that up because the next thing Buzzy comes down here for, our tiki carver, is we're going to do the roof of the patio. And we're going to do some stuff out there to make it more shipwreck looking. And one of his suggestions, which was cheesy, but I think we're going to do, is have a pelican on one of the top of the tiki towers.
That's awesome.
Because we aren't just tiki, we're nautical.
But he's actually going to put a flamingo.
Yeah, well,
put a flamingo.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time to talk with the podcast today.
Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, thanks for coming
by. And if you guys want to come down here and get a drink from Brandon, when are you normally here?
I live here. No, that's not true. The only times I'm not here are Wednesday and Sundays. Those are Wednesday and Sunday. Yeah, but the rest of the time I'm always here. I'm here every night, so come on by. You know, we can talk Star Wars. I can make you an amazing drink, whatever you want. We can go on menu, off menu, whatever you want. I'm flexible.
Yeah, do it with fire too.
Yes, everything with fire. Can I have water and fire?
Water and fire. Oh yeah. Well, you can do that, right?
Fire and ice. Oh man, we're nerds. We're gonna
Pat Benatar, 1979.
Hey.
So we are at the Reef at the world famous Caliente Tropics Hotel. Rory, throw out the address.
411 East Palm Canyon
in Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs, California, 92264.
And if you guys want to follow what these guys are doing, what's your Instagram and Facebook? You guys have Facebook and Instagram pages?
Yeah, Facebook, you know, just Brandon Glass. And Instagram would be Glasstastic.
Glasstastic?
I think we're the Reef Palm Springs. Then you have our website, which is the Reef Palm Springs. Then you got our Facebook page, the Reef Palm Springs. And then my Grindr account is Bear Honey.
No.
Bear Honey?
Wow.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Enjoy your local moco.
Final toast here. Cheers. Cheers and aloha.
Yes.
Cheers.